We're back, listeners, with Angela Chrysler in central New York State. And Angela, we're so excited to hear more about Dollar and Shadow, your first book.
Yes, I was explaining that after I took these courses, because I wasn't certain what I was going to be writing, I went ahead and started reading everything. And I got to the romance genre. That was fun. And I realized there were over 20 genres in the romance genre alone. And I read through probably 30 books that summer.
Yeah.
I got to one. I was very frustrated. I was very angry with this particular book. And I was just enraged. I'm not going to lie. I was just really, really angry. Romance is not my genre.
Yeah.
I put the book down, and in spite of that particular heroine, I created Kalan, which is the leading female of Stoller and Shadow.
Isn't that interesting?
I made her everything this character in that particular book was not. Wow. I made her strong, intelligent, stubborn, smart. I made her powerful. And it was a massive tantrum. I will admit, I was a 20-something-year-old female having a tantrum in my living room. I declared that Kalan was going to be an elf. She was going to be strong, a warrior, and a queen, and she was going to throw fire. Yes, she was also going to be a witch. And I then sat down with a baby name book and found one of the hardest names I could, the strongest name, and I found Kalan.
It's a lovely name.
From her, she really brought the book together. She launched the book. She carried it. She did so much for it. I rewrote Dollar and Shadow 5 times, but I was not familiar with grammar, with a lot. There was just a lot I was not brushed up on. And it took me 5 rewrites to master the written word, to get it out there, to figure out what I was doing, and to learn the art. 7 years later, I finally have Dollar and Shadow. I still have the original draft, which is a nightmare. It's disgusting. But I have it.
Yes.
Kalan went through so many changes. The story went through so many changes. I originally started writing it as a romance, and after the second rewrite, I realized if it was going to meet its full potential, I needed to commit to a genre. I was toggling between romance and fantasy. And the story that emerged really went dark. I could not believe how absolutely dark the story went.
Yes.
So I realized that the story would not appeal on any level to, well, I can't say any level, to romance readers.
Right.
So I decided to take the romantic element out of it. Not completely. There's plenty of romance and sexual tension, but
I hear
it really focuses mostly on story now, the epic journey that she undergoes.
Yes.
A brief overview. Basically, Kalan, she's introduced very young to death and war, and when she's barely 15 years old, she experiences another absolutely catastrophic event, a massacre, where her people have been absolutely destroyed.
Right.
And it really sets an anger inside of her. It sets a determination to care for the people she loves. And she takes on this goal of stopping death. This is where my influence with Frankenstein really came in. She was determined to become strong enough to stop death.
Oh, my.
So she practiced in the Save Arts magic.
Mm-hmm.
She practiced in armed, in a combat. She practices in ruling. She really extends all of her knowledge out as far as she can, with the sole purpose to end and stop death. She's an elf, so mortality is something that really, not something she grasps solely. She's under that impression that people live forever, because in her world, they almost do.
Mm-hmm.
When she fails to save her father, it really sets her back, and she launches into the 5 stages of grief. And that really, this is where I really had fun with the story. I never actually call it the 5 stages of grief in the book. I do not get into psychology, but I do use it. She gets stuck in denial, and I have this co-story going on off to the side with the other main character, Rune, who is the king of her enemy.
Okay.
When he sees what she's doing psychologically, he steps in to help her because he's got his own conflicts. He has his own agenda, and he's sworn to help her, and she fights him along every step of the way. They have fae goddesses coming after them. They end up in Midgard, trekking over literally ancient terrain of Norway, the Jotunheim Mountains. They go up to Nidaros, Trondheim in Norway. And
Trondheim in Norway, yes, that's north of Norway.
Trondheim in Norway,
yes, I've been
there.
Did you do a lot of research geographically? Like,
Oh, my goodness, that brings me back. I spent weeks with Steve. Steve is the little yellow guy in Google that I named, because I spent many hours with Steve. I took Steve into Norway, and I trekked I walked all over Norway with him.
Yes.
We went into the Dovrefjell, which is the mountain range southwest of Trondheim. We went there. We went into Oslo. I went into Bohuslän, Sweden. Farnland, Sweden, which is north of the Lake Farnan.
Yes.
I spent so much time just looking at the terrain.
That's what I thought you must have, because you sound so familiar with it. It's as though you walked that ground yourself. That's astonishing.
I did. It was absolutely amazing. I acknowledged Google in my acknowledgement, because without them, the staff in Google is amazing. Them and Wikipedia, they did so much.
Fabulous.
Through the sourced hyperlinks and Wikipedia,
yes,
at the bottom of every page, they give you a reading list, a recommended reading list.
Yes.
And I got to the point, my research became so intense that I just went to that recommended reading list, and I bought the books on their list.
Right.
So John Lindau is a professor here in the States. I'm not sure exactly where I think he's in Texas, but I'm not certain. I think he's in that area. He's a professor of Norse myth. He wrote the book on Norse mythology, and I have that book.
Oh, my.
So it was funny, because I would sit there and read John Lindau's work, and then I would go onto Wikipedia for a quick, okay, what's doing here with Bill Ross, with Thor? And I would pull up Wikipedia, and I would read a little section, and I'm like, I want more detail on this. And I would click on their source hyperlink. It would take me down, and it would just quote John Lindau. And I'm like, oh, well, I have the book. What am I doing on Wikipedia?
Right.
I put it on my book, and I would flip through it. It was about 5 years of that kind of research, walking the streets with Steve, going all over Norway with him in Sweden. It was just amazing. And this grew. I could not believe how much Dolar and Shadow grew. The plot extended. I brought in Celtic myth with it and tied in the Fae gods. It was just intense how crazy and how wild this got, how in-depth it got.
That is such an exciting curve, and the power that you bring to it when you discuss your work tells me how passionate you are about doing writing. And I just want to remind our listeners, I know we talked about this last time, Angela, but you're a mother of three children, and you have many pets in your house and a husband. It's not like you're sitting in an ivory tower somewhere with oodles of time, excess time. So you really are pursuing your passion with an incredible intensity.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you. Now, out of Dolar and Shadow, you mentioned very quickly that you then did a memoir-based book, Broken.
Yes. This is where the topic gets very somber. Yes, I wrote Broken.
And Broken is, I've seen from the description, a book of, you've actually warned readers that there are certain areas that unless they don't want to go there, they better not read the book. So let's just leave it at that in terms of detail. I want to say that as someone who has walked a difficult journey myself in terms of abuse and all of the things that can happen to women, my congratulations to you for thriving. I am a little bit bland on the word survival, although I certainly feel the tenderness of anyone who's recently discovered that they had a bad background wanting to call themselves a survivor. I don't mean to shatter anybody's...
It's funny. I had issues.
We need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond it, I believe. We need to be thriving and triumphant and enthusiastic and passionate and taking all of our life into our own hands. And I hear you doing that.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
You mentioned survival, and I love the word survivor. I took that word personally, and that really hit me. It was far more encouraging and positive than the word victim. I hate the word victim.
Ugh.
I hate it so much. But the word survivor, really, to me, that's hope. There's so much strength in that word.
All right.
For me, that was my experience with it.
That's a lovely, lovely thing to hear. I guess what I'm looking at is the post-survival stage, where you do what you're doing, where you start to thrive and be triumphant and say, this is my story, or I don't need to ever tell that story, but I can tell these other stories, or I'm going to create a female character who is so strong and so good and handles all those challenges and overcomes them, as you do in Dolar and Shadow. So I feel like this is really a powerful time, because there are women coming forward not only with their memoirs and their experiences, but then creating these powerful archetypes or stereotypes that will go into the culture and begin to change the way we look at ourselves and the way hopefully the culture sees women.
Yeah, it's funny. I have like a whole rant on that particular topic.
Oh, do rant, please. Please do rant.
It's tied into Lord of the Rings. I'm huge with Tolkien, with the epic movies. And prior to Tolkien, specifically Eowyn, let me think here for a moment, was it Eowyn and Arwen? It was Eowyn. Prior to Lord of the Rings, Two Towers,
yes,
there was Eowyn's character. She was the first sword-wielding warrior maiden. prior to that movie, women were the damsel in distress. And I was the nerd who sat down with the DVDs and watched all 6 discs of The Making of Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
It took me a week. It was 10 hours of viewing a day just to get through it all. And I watched every single moment.
Oh.
It was wonderful. On the last disc of the last movie, Billy Boyd makes a comment. That was who played Pippin.
Okay.
He made an announcement that there is somebody out there. There is going to be people out there who sits down and watches all these discs. And I was so pleased to go, me, it was me, I did it. I learned more about Lord of the Rings. But there was one particular moment in the making of when they reflect on Eowyn's character. And she got to the studio to do the filming. And Arwen, Ruth Tyler herself, came over to this woman and said, have you been through combat training yet? And she goes, I'm a woman. What do you mean combat training?
Right.
And they had to take her down and walked her through combat training.
Yes.
It was unheard of. And that really, really launched this massive, forget damsel in distress. We're going to arm our women and fight alongside our men. And since then, there's been an explosion of women armed with sword. You see it in History Channel's Vikings. You see it in so many places now, especially Walking Dead. They really embrace that female taking on the combat role. They empower women. And
yes.
It's just amazing where they've taken it. And I do credit that change in our culture to Eowyn with Peter Jackson's interpretation of Lord of the Rings. Very much so.
That's a fabulous interpretation, and thank you for that, for helping us put it into place historically. As I understand it, Eowyn's character was not in the original text of Lord of the Rings. However,
she was.
I know
she was.
Daniel's saying no, my memory, no, but it doesn't matter. The fact is she was there in the movie, that's for sure. And she was, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other one that was played by Cate Blanchett, Glatterall, her name?
Yeah.
She had a power to her. She had a wisdom, but it seems as though, to follow up with what you're saying, her wisdom, her power, her sagacity was based in a knowledge of the inner world and of ESP and telepathy. It was not based in, I'm strong, and if you come near me, I will cut you down. And we need more of the latter in the world that we're moving toward, so that women stop being silly about what they're doing in bars and women stop taking the notion that they can just be safe everywhere we are, because we're not. And we have to understand that having a little combat training is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It enhances you as a human being, and it enhances how other people see you. I think there's nothing like physical training to create confidence. What do you say of that?
Mm-hmm. I say positive. There's definitely, I'm actually a huge advocate on this particular topic. I grew up in an area where the women I knew were not admiral. They were very violent. They abused their husbands. They talked trash about them. I have serious issues with that in general.
Sure.
It is the wrong kind of, it's not empowerment, actually,
no.
And it's very, very abusive.
Bullying is never empowerment. Bullying is never empowerment.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter who does
exactly
it.
What it is.
It comes from...
It's so common, and there is a wonderful combat that is coming up now where women are finding strength, and with it they are respecting, not obeying, but respecting their husbands.
And Angela, this breaks my heart. We're just starting to get rolling, and I have to stop our program because we're coming to the end. Can you believe
it?
Okay. I would like you, please, to give our listeners the advantage of having your websites and all of the places where you want to advertise. Please let people know that right now.
Yes, my website is www.angelabchrysler.com. My name, last name is spelled just like the car, and I am also all over Twitter, AB Chrysler, ABC is my Twitter handle. I'm on Facebook, Google+, Pinterest. All my social media information is right, very, very accessible on my website.
It's been wonderful talking to you. Angela, would you come again and talk with us here at Whistle Radio?
Oh, absolutely. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. And thank you. We'll talk soon, Angela.
Thank you.
And thanks to Daniel Bertuzzi for all of our fine tech and wizardry in the background here. Thanks, Daniel. That's it. That's all for today from Off the Top here at Whistle Radio 102.7 FM. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, take good care of each other.